welcome to Talking Walking, hosted by Andrew Stupp from Rethinking Cities in London. Talking Walking brings you interviews with people from the world of walking, artists, activists, professionals, and those of us who have a passion for just taking a walk. In this episode, we talk to Jenny Budd, the Health Walks Coordinator in Lewisham in South East London. She talks about her work in encouraging hundreds of people to get walking for their better health, and how she thinks she has one of the best jobs in the world. The interview was recorded in Lady Well Fields in Lewisham, just beside the local railway station, on an all-too-rare sunny day in June 2008. The interview opens with Jenny explaining the current situation regarding Healthy Walks coordinators in the London boroughs.
Most boroughs at some point have had a walks coordinator, but there are many who don't now. Yeah, there are lots of vacancies.
And you've managed to survive quite a long time.
Yeah, I've been here 7 years.
How was it? How did it begin? How were you the? How did you become to be recruited as a healthy walks coordinator?
Purely by chance, really, because my background was, and I was an occupational therapist, and then I was a psychotherapist for 13 years, and I was on maternity leave with my second son. And really wanted to change of direction and saw the ad in the local paper.
And who was then, you know, who was the employer?
Yeah, it's the Primary Care Trust. But it was originally just for a year, and amazingly the funding in various ways got extended over the years, and it's now a permanent mainstream job, part-time. It's lovely. It's very unusual, very unusual.
Now, there's been sort of national funding for Walking for Health initiative and things like that. Does that support your post, or how's it evolved?
No, we didn't get the Walking the Way to Health Initiative, WHI funding. It was purely a local initiative that funded it.
And was it that triggered Lewisham to think that they needed a healthy walks coordinator?
I don't think it's any different from any other London borough where people just don't do enough exercise. And walking in the parks is a fantastic way to do it.
Has the Lewisham Council ever contributed to the
funding? Yes, we have had part funding from the council in the more recent years.
How does it all work? How do you get people to get walking?
We advertise through local newsletters, have publicity up in GP practices. There's a local publication that goes through everybody's door called Lewisham Life. We always have a listing in there that I always know it's been released because the phone calls come. And then a lot of it is word of mouth. And we go to events, and that's always a great way to get people because they can talk to you face to face. And particularly if walk leaders come to the event, then new walkers can meet the walk leaders who will be at the walk when they turn up.
But can you explain to the listeners what is involved with a health walk?
A health walk is a short walk. It's only about half an hour, 45 minutes long. The idea is that people can come and walk at their own pace. So we can accommodate people of varying abilities. So people who might have been coming on the walk for a long time can still come and walk, as well as new people who might be very limited in what they're able to do. We always have trained walk leaders, usually volunteers, one at the front and one at the back of the walk. So if people do need to walk much more slowly, there is someone there to walk with them and encourage them and support them. There's a big emphasis on it being social. That's why people keep coming back. They get their exercise and enjoy being out in the green space, which brings lots of benefits to them. And they're meeting their friends. So the sort of the physical benefit is almost a side benefit because they're here and enjoying being out and about. And
do you organise walks in different parts of the borough?
Yeah, we have walks across the whole borough. It's about 10 at the moment.
And that's
a week.
10 a week?
Yeah. Most of them are weekdays, daytime. And that's because it's the volunteers who run the walks, and the walks can only happen with the support of volunteers, so the walks need to happen when they're available. One is a Sunday afternoon walk, which was alternate Sundays, now every Sunday, for people with limited mobility. So people with mobility aids, people in wheelchairs, people who need to go really quite slowly can still come. And in fact, it's here in Lady Well Fields that they meet. They can still come, they can be out in the green space, they can meet people, and they can get some exercise. So that happens on Sunday afternoons, and then on very early Sunday morning we've got a 7 a.m. start, just gone on the schedule. This walk leader has been, Lucrita, has been doing this for herself for a long time and has been getting, encouraging people to join her, but it's just become properly on our schedule.
So you try to target specific neighbourhoods or...
They're local walks for local people, because then they build up more of a social network and get to know each other a bit better. Now we're working much more with local organisations and community groups so that they can set up walks. The walks traditionally were always targeted at older people anyway, and they remain the core of our walkers.
And an older person, frighteningly.
50 plus.
Oh dear,
yes.
That includes me.
We've created a new health improvement team that I'm part of. So it will be interesting to see what the priorities are, because there will be PCT priorities because of particular health needs within the borough. For example, the north of the borough has particular health needs. So we will put more emphasis up there, I'm sure.
Perhaps you could tell me a little bit about the National Stepometer thing, because that was actually how I first met you, wasn't it?
The National Stepometer Programme originated from a recommendation in the government white paper called Choosing Health. One of the recommendations was that stepometers, pedometers, should be used by clinical staff in practices. And then the so-called National Stepometer Programme, or NSP, was developed. One of the main partners was the Walking the Way to Health initiative through Natural England and Department of Health. And the idea was that they would train frontline medical staff to use pedometers with their patients. There was a step before that, that they actually trained what they call cascade trainers, which were local people such as me, who could then deliver the training to the frontline staff. So that's what's happened in Lewisham. And in Lewisham, the way we've done it, because of limited capacity on time really, what we've done so far is we've had three training courses, two-day training courses for practice staff. It's called Skills and Tools for Empowering Your Overweight and Obese Patients, very long title, for a very good course which involved a lot of motivational interviewing. They did the NSP training, which is a two-hour training, and then they did things like waist measurements and much more practical hands-on things. And the NSP training fit very well into that, and we got a very, very good response from people through doing it that way. And in fact, we had practice staff want to train as walk leaders and then set up walk from their own practice, which is great. It's a lovely development for me. Because the thing is, even if people come on a walk every week, it's not enough. The recommendation is the 5 times 30 minutes. If you're overweight or trying to lose weight or trying to maintain your weight, you've actually got to do between 40 and 60 minutes. So people need to be doing that most days of the week. Coming on a walk gives the sort of kickstart to that, I think, and lets people know that they can manage it, lets people know that it's safe to go in the park. But they need to be doing more in the rest of their life. And the pedometers are a great motivational tool to help them keep track with that.
What we came across, of course, was what was going on at Lewisham Council in terms of council staff doing a step challenge. Were you involved in that?
We started this alongside the Walking Festival. When we originally did it, I devised it so that we had teams of 6 people, each wearing a step counter, for 4 weeks. When people use step counters, it's important that they get a baseline level, so they've got that level to build upon, so they can be realistic. So the idea was that they wear it for the first week, carry on normally. Very hard to do once you start thinking about it, but get baseline level, and then they build up over the next few weeks. It's the team with the greatest percentage increase after the end of the 4 weeks. That was the winner. And we had some fantastic, fantastic results. So we did it for several years, getting teams from the PCT, from the council, from voluntary organisations. Last year, I did it with SLAM, which is the Mental Health Services, and that was very successful. We had 22 teams taking part, and that introduced the whole idea to them.
I mean, 22 teams of 6, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
And with the National Stepometer ones, the GP surgeries, they actually have a loan pack, don't they?
Which yeah.
they so they actually have a process in which they can monitor and evaluate what's yeah. going on.
And they have to carefully assess who's the most appropriate person to give it to. Because it's like all these free stepometers that people get, or step counters people get given at events, they just sit in people's drawers. The thing about the NSP is they've got very good quality, reliable step counters people can trust, so that they know they're going to be accurate. And then they're also assessed. Do they really want to increase the amount of activity they do, or are they just thinking about it? And if they're thinking about it, fine, perhaps you'll talk, you might give them a leaflet, and then perhaps when you see them again in 3 months' time, you can, you know, ask them then, but you're not wasting your time and resources on people who just aren't going to thing with it,
right?
Which is quite important with limited resources.
What I haven't asked you is what your favourite walks are. I mean, what's the best walk in Lewisham?
Waterlink Way from Catford down to the Sabre Centre in Bell Green. It's just wonderful. And the first time someone took me down there, I was just completely bowled over, because it's not like being in the middle of an urban setting. It's just delightful.
You escape from the drum of the noise and everything, don't you,
very
quickly?
It's flat, it's easy. You have to watch out for cyclists. But it's just lovely. So that would be my favourite Lewisham walk. But I love walking along Thames Park.
Okay.
Love that.
Whereabouts?
Well, we used to live near Greenwich. So that stretch, Greenwich, Woolwich, Thamesmead, all around there, was very familiar to us. Just loved it. So my husband is, he's the Green Chain officer. So we're very sort of walking, and
now explain what the Green Chain is
and what a
Green Chain officer is.
The Green Chain is one of the 6 strategic walks in London, and it is 40 miles of signposted footpaths with 300 open spaces. The Green Chain walk links all these 300 open spaces, protected open spaces across Bromley, Bexley, Greenwich and Lewisham. Southwark's just come on board. And it goes from Erith, Riverside, stretches all the way down to Crystal Palace.
What's your husband's role in the
Green
Chain?
Oh, he's the Green Chain Project Officer. It's about promoting and protecting the Green Chain and ensuring that it's kept up to standard.
And who pays him to do that? Sounds a great job.
It's paid for by 5 boroughs that it goes through.
What's the motivation for you to go to work? And I mean, walking is obviously important to the family because both of you are involved in it, but what's made that happen? What brought walking on? Was it something you did as a kid? Or
I used to hate walking. I used to go on these camping holidays and in Wales, and I particularly remember struggling up hills, really, really finding it very difficult. So I don't think I did particularly enjoy it, but I did go on a walking holiday and enjoyed that. I've always enjoyed being outdoors, the outdoors life, but not walking in particular.
Maybe because you haven't enjoyed it, that helps you in your job, because you recognise it in other people who say...
Yes, I mean, it's a great job. To get paid to be here in a park, or later on this morning I'll be walking with one of the walk groups. That's what I really enjoy about my job, and unfortunately I don't get out often enough to be out there in the parks with the walk groups and meeting the people who are walking and hearing what a difference it's made to them. I mean, people just love the walks, and it's turned their lives around. Some people who come on the walks, it's just extraordinary, and broaden their social horizons, and you know, that is the motivating factor, really. But I have to get out here a bit more. My frustration is that I just don't have enough time. I really do not have enough time to develop the work as I would like, as I could, if I had more hours.
How would you like the work to be developed?
I'd like to give more support to the volunteers, because they do a fantastic job, and the work, the walks wouldn't survive without them. They are fantastic, and they just get on with it and do it. So I would like to be able to offer them more. It's about doing the more targeted work and to go and do more work more directly with community groups and specific groups of people. And the whole stepometer work. I mean, we did it through the obesity trainings that we ran for frontline staff. There's a vast, vast amount of opportunities for doing that work.
You've been listening to Talking Walking, brought to you by Rethinking Cities. In this episode, you've heard from Jenny Budd. If you have any views on this interview or any walking issues, we would love to hear from you. Please follow the links on the talkingwalking.net website. We look forward to having you along for future episodes at talkingwalking.net. Recorded and produced by Andrew Stuck of Rethinking Cities, our graphic artwork was designed by Ian Martin of Aardvark Graphics, and the music was composed and recorded by Simon Sanders of Easytronic.